Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 256. This is a very intimate group tonight.
Intimate? Don't
well, not that
word.
We're being intimate, but... See, Josh doesn't know what to do with that. See, we're just, we're all out of whack.
Where's the cord?
It's down there somewhere. So we're two men down. Pat couldn't be here, and Adam's sickly or something.
Adam's still recovering from a nasty banana energy drink incident.
That could be.
And everyone's in a different chair.
Yes.
We are all in different chairs.
We're all over the place right now.
I haven't sat in a red chair in a while
for
a podcast. So. Normally I defaulted to Dave, but...
Yeah.
I was already here.
I don't think I've ever seen you in a red chair during this.
Yeah.
So it's a little unique. We're coming at you from different parts of the microphone. You guys are going to be all out of sorts.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to pay attention like the whole podcast instead of drifting off like I normally do.
I have to be cognizant of leaning forward or leaning backwards.
Yeah, if you lean back, nobody can hear you.
That's what I hear. Or don't hear.
So I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Josh.
That's it. That's all we got.
Tim's here, but he's
lurking. He
he's working
like...
hard back there.
Yep.
Doing his thing. He's going through the polls. Tim, did you find out how many hardcovers?
Yeah, 21. 21 left. So, yeah. So that's...
And how many do you order?
36.
36? And how many of the, how many do you sell the, like, the standard?
I don't know.
Floppy ones.
We'll have Tim look at it. Well, let's see. Yeah.
I'm just curious how that book is, like, how...
I order 100, but that's because I need to get the one in 100.
You get someone that wants it?
Yeah. And, but it's not like I have a ton left over, and I'm out of a lot of the early issues. So it came out 2 weeks ago, so it's still, I don't want to say early, but how many did we sell, number 7? I know, the drum roll. You guys are bated breath.
Tim's like the producer of the show, behind the glass and everything.
Who's on the line, Tim?
Come on, Tim, you're killing us here.
Total through all the covers, 71, but 65 of the regular.
Okay, but how many are still in the folders?
But so you're selling...
Okay, so we sold 65, 23, so
or
that's...
No, 12, I'm sorry.
12?
23 in the shop.
Okay, but that's 75% sell-through.
You're selling over 100 copies total of this book if you factor in those, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's why, while I'm not happy it's late, I'm not worried. It's selling great for me.
It's late, and that sucks. It's gone on longer than it should have, but it's not impacting anything else.
If you told me when that book started that I would be selling 36 copies of the hardcover, I would have laughed in your face. I ordered 10 of the first one. I'm like... Who's going to want this? Mm. And then I went to the retailer summit.
I remember you came back from that summit and you were...
In Baltimore, and they showed
it.
Us the mock-up and the box and everything. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be big. And I think I've ordered 25. And then number one came in, and I only had a few... So many people had added it.
Yeah.
That I only had, like, 3 on the table. And those sold out the first day. And then it was like, okay, I'll reorder 2 more. And now my number's 36, which... I mean, that's a, you know, $13...
It's a really nice.
Yeah. Oh, it is. The pack. I mean, it's oversized.
The quality is great.
Yeah. You got I got to see inside yours. So, it has the full size mini comic. Mm-hmm. The package is great. And I like the regular comic package too. I like the mini comic glued inside. I think it's a really neat way to do it.
The regular comic is nice. I never want to go down the slippery slope of double dipping.
Right.
So I feel like if I start
both.
It with one book, then it's very easy for me to justify it with a different book, then another book, then another book, and suddenly I'm in a place I don't want to be, because right now I'm already spending more than I want to be spending.
What? No. You're spending just the right amount.
Lease is up, get a new car, and I had to choose between getting something less than what I have right now or getting something with, like, a moonroof and stuff I didn't want and paying more.
Yeah, so get the lesser one.
Yeah, it's too late. I already said I'll take the one with the moonroof.
That's my fault. I'm being punished.
But now
I'm being punished.
You have to supplement the extra cost.
Man. Okay, so Pat's not here for the news, so I think we're going to kind of tag team the news today. I think everybody has a little something.
Tag team news.
I will start. I did a little...
We're like the Hawk and Animal of news. the Legion of news.
If I knew their catchphrases and stuff, but I don't. I'm sorry.
Don't they just, like, grunt a lot?
Yeah, probably.
Dave, get our spiky shoulder pads.
Yes.
It's news time.
Yes. I don't have the hair for the one guy.
Who's the manager of them? Because that's who Dave's going to be.
There you go. I don't
know. Oh, okay. I got you. Oh. Wrestlers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, sorry. Okay.
Sorry. Okay.
So the brief
you
little...
You like them better than you like
I'm
Doc Emmerich?
Well, I'm Davey Boy Smith. My cousins always call me Davey Boy Smith. Oh, Mike Emmerich.
Overrated.
I didn't say... He's fine. He's just overrated.
I believe you said overrated.
He's just overrated.
Overrated is a strong term, Dave.
Well, that's a term I'm going to use here.
All right. There's enough of this.
Paul Steigerwald, but, you know.
Oh.
News
time.
News time. So I just found a little bit. So there's a new Guardian or new team on Guardians because Bendis announced that after the Grounded storyline, he's off Guardians, and they just announced it's going to be Jerry Duggan with Aaron Cooter on art. And I got to say, I mean, Jerry Duggan, fine, he's done Deadpool for a while, but Aaron Cooter did not impress me with on Death of X.
Jerry Duggan did that Hulk book, too, that Dave was reading.
Yeah,
he liked
he
it a lot.
Did, okay. The, Mark Wade. The Doc Green.
Okay.
Which I heard a lot of people say was great.
Okay. It was really good, yes, I really enjoyed it.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping Aaron Cooter
can
turn it around, because I was not a fan of his Death of X work.
What are you trying to say, Dave? Don't they have multiple Hulk books on the shelves right now?
Yes, we do.
His banner's dead, Josh.
And the one interesting thing, it's going to star Baby Groot, and he can't grow up. He's now forever Baby Groot.
Oh, no.
So I wonder if that's like the movie. Oh, my gosh. And I think I also saw Drax is going to be a pacifist. So, they also announced a Scarlet Spider book. Peter David and Mark Bagley are going to be doing this one, and it's spinning out of the events of Clone Conspiracy. I know Adam was disappointed, only because it says it basically gives away the end of Clone Conspiracy. And the second thing, he had tweeted to Peter David that he's very excited about it and would get it, but except for the fact that he knows that it will be interrupted by the next Marvel event, because... he was enjoying Spider-Man 2099, but it got interrupted twice for Marvel events. And I think those were just Spider-Man events, but he just decided to, you know, he's not even going to give it a shot because of that. So, Secret Empire is a Captain America event that is going to be starting on Free Comic Book Day. So that's coming. There's a Defenders book also starting. I believe this one is also getting kickstarted on... Free Comic Book Day, and this is a new Bendis and David Marquez book coming in June. It's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, basically the leading into the Netflix series. He's written, I think, all these characters except for Iron Fist, although I think Power Man and Iron Fist were in his Daredevil run, and he created Jessica Jones, so it's kind of a natural for him. My last news, I think I'll leave for later, because Josh, I know, is going to want to talk about it, so I'll leave that for him.
Yeah, technology has failed me. I wrote down all my news and synced it, and it did not sync. So,
did you say you had any news? I thought you
did. No.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
What's the news about Vigilante Southland, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Vigilante Southland has been canceled as of issue number 4. But
for those who aren't to know, what is Vigilante Southland?
It is a 6-issue miniseries.
And who's publishing it?
From DC Comics. But it will be published in its entirety in trade paperback form at some point in the future.
So they're canceling it halfway through the miniseries, but they're still publishing the unpublished issues as part of the trade?
That is correct. According to Bleeding Cool, at least. They're never wrong, so we'll see.
I mean, you probably don't know off the top of your head, but like, was that selling well here?
Not particularly. Like, I'd say under 5 copies, nothing special.
Okay.
I was just looking to see if I got an email from DC about that today.
Yeah, it's weird that with only 3 issues left, they would choose to axe it.
My only guess is that it's... Oh, here we go. Is that it's doing so bad that they just decided that to move on. Here it is. Yeah, it was in there. Yeah, it says DC cancels Vigilante Southland with issue 4.
So issue 4 is still going
to
come out?
Oh, issue 1 through 3 will be made returnable at a later date. So that's kind of nice.
So all the ones you were stuck with?
Yeah, it's not many. Actually, it was selling very well for me. I mean, in the sense of I didn't have any, I was having to reorder. I mean, I didn't, like I said, if I'm only selling five, you know, that's...
So you weren't selling a lot, but you were selling what you were...
I'm selling
you,
through.
You were
I wasn't stuck with
them. Appropriately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Appropriately.
Okay, so you don't have any news because you lost all your news?
There's some things I recall. Like, there was possible leaks for who the villain is going to be in Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay.
The movie.
Yep. I didn't see that, but Tim, you know, told me and ruined it for me. So
should we shouldn't mention it? Keep it secret?
Okay.
Spoilers. Fast forward 15 seconds if you don't want to hear it, starting now.
One,
so the two. The villain's supposed to be possibly Ares, and Zeus died trying to, you know, protect the Amazons from Ares, and Amazons were created to be counterbalance to that. That's the possible, the rumor for the threat. Okay. Spoilers over.
Okay, it's safe now.
Another bit of news. Marvel decided to make a pretty big change.
This was my last news item.
Right now, for the past few years, Marvel has been including a digital code with all of their books, I think. I think it's all of them at this point, right?
At this point, yeah. It used to be the $2.99
yeah.
ones
the
didn't.
The $3
and
books
the
didn't have the code. The $4 books had the code. And then they went code for everything, $4 across the board. Now it's $4+ across the board. But everything has a code. But they announced the code program is going to evolve. And instead of giving you a digital copy of the book that you just purchased, they're now going to give you two or more classic issues that start off a classic storyline. And one of those issues will probably be for some recent event. Like the first week of this, one of the issues will be Civil War Zero.
Classic.
Classic. this is starting in February. And the other thing is, it appears that the codes will be the same on all the books for each week. So whether you buy one Marvel book in a week or 15, you're getting the same code over and over again. So you're really only getting those, you know, whatever issues they curate. And it appears they are dropping the digital copy of the book that you're buying. So my major issue with this, and I don't want to come across as just bashing Marvel, but I'm probably going to drop my remaining Marvel books because of it. I feel like for a long time now, Marvel has been using the lowest quality materials for their printed books. The paper is garbage. The ink is garbage. You read a Marvel book, and it feels like you get fingerprints on them so easily. So for a while now, I'll buy the book and redeem the code instantly, put the book in a you know bag and board, and just read it on my iPad. So without this code and the fact they're $4, I'll pay $4 for other books, but I'm not going to pay $4 for a book that's that poor print quality, you know, for no reason.
I
would rather wait until, I mean, and this hurts Colin, so I hate saying it, but I would rather wait until the book is on sale for $1 on Comixology, or, you know, if I had an interest in more than one book, do Marvel Unlimited for $10 a month, then buy, you know, an overpriced, low-quality, you know, print version of it. Which, it's a shame, but that's what they have, you know, created.
And then there's been a lot of discussion online is that's what they're trying to do.
Well,
steer people away from the print into digital
but they have no inventory
cost.
What would be their rationale for
But
doing
they're trying to promote it as helping the retailer.
Yeah.
Is this being a boon to the local comic shop? Because when someone gets that first issue of Civil
War
Zero,
well, a lot of it's going to be the first issue of an event, so you come back and get the trade.
But here's the thing. If you get a digital copy of Civil War Zero and you're interested to keep reading, when you get to the end and it says buy the next issue, you're probably going to hit that button to buy the next issue. You're not going to come in here and say, hey, Colin, I really like that digital issue.
I have the $50 trade?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, not when you can buy them for $1 each online.
Yeah.
And a lot of retailers are pretty up in arms over this whole thing. And there's even I saw a petition on change.org for them to reverse it and stick with the current digital copy program. I don't think that they'll change. I think they're pretty set in stone on this change of the program, but I mean it's a big change from how they've been doing things. And unless they're gonna match the print quality of other, you know, books on the shelves, I don't see the value in continuing to buy Moon Knight, which is the only book that I'm still buying anyways.
Yeah, so we'll see how it shakes out. But yeah, the response has not been good. Overall, I mean, nobody's really talking about it in the store, but just online.
Yeah.
The problem for me is, if you buy 10 books, you're getting the same. You're really only getting 2 digital codes for all 10 books.
Yeah.
Which, is not really a value. So, we'll see.
But nice try in trying to spin it as a value.
Yeah.
And this piece of news is for Colin. In 2017, a creator that Colin helped get back on the shelves when he was out of print, Mike Grell, is coming back to do variant covers for Green Arrow.
Which is cool. I'm excited about that. I'm a big Mike Grell fan. I have a number of pieces of his original art. So I'm very, very happy about that. Oh, Mike, what are you...
Oh, wait a
man. What's in the box?
Not those papers. And I saw Dave Woody Harrelson is confirmed for Star Wars Han Solo.
Yeah, Chewbacca's dad. That's cool.
Apparently he's going to be some kind of mentor to Han Solo. And that's all we know.
Yeah, I'm not sure how... I mean, Rogue One surpassed my expectations. So, I mean, I have faith that this will be a good movie, but I don't know if I wanted to see a Han Solo origin movie.
You know, I kind of felt that way about Rogue One, too, you know. It was like, I liked the original Star Wars, New Hope, just started, and they didn't show any of that leading up to it. Rogue One kind of made me change my tune on that a little bit.
Yeah, I like Han Solo's character being a bit more mysterious.
I agree with you. I just want Han Solo. He shows up at the cantina. We don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
And that's worked for, 40 years now. So I see where I agree with where you're coming from in theory, yeah.
But I mean, we'll see. When is that one supposed to come out? Is it Christmas or winter or holiday season of 2018?
Next year, I thought it was. Man, I thought it was like next summer, 2018.
Is it summer or is it going to be? Because I thought it was every holiday season they're coming out. Because this holiday will be.
Episode
8.
Yeah. I'm sure. I can't see it coming out next summer at all, 2018. I'm sure they'll push it to the Christmas season.
We'll see.
But we'll see. I am not certain.
But I think that is all the news that I can recall that I put on my list before technology failed me.
Okay.
That's a lot of news.
The only other thing I want to talk about, it was a really interesting...
Legion of News gets it done.
little thing, but it was nice. Ross Ritchie.
My bald spot, Tim.
Never. See, I wouldn't recommend the moonroof because of that. That's why I don't like the sunroof, because it's... got no protection up top.
That's important, kids.
Yeah. You don't want cancer on the top of your head. Ross Ritchie did a real neat thing where he was talking about how it's been in the news that comics drops are struggling. It was a tough December, tough last quarter, and there were some articles about it and stuff. And I personally feel it was kind of a lack of books, a little dissatisfaction, mostly I'd say with Marvel because of Civil War being late and people kind of fed up with that happening again and new books spinning out and just kind of didn't do as well. But, what can you expect when you have books such as, Slapstick and
now, you did invite someone
like
to the
that.
Podcast to give the opposing
I did.
Views
yeah.
on this.
Yeah.
They chose not to show
right.
up.
Right. So, Matt, I invited you so you could be here to dispute that. But beside that, he kind of got online and just kind of talked about... support your local store. Go in and, buy a trade. Spend a little money here, to help us out. Which, is very appreciative. Especially, he was talking about, different companies' books, not just his. Because Ross Ritchie is the head of Boom. He's the owner and founder of Boom Studios. So it was really neat. And Pack Rat Comics, who... see you, Tim. Be good.
Bye, Tim.
Year I was nominated for the Eisner... So it was like 2 years ago, they won. Pack Rat Comics out in Ohio won.
That's who won.
Yeah, that's okay. Who won that year. Just did a real little post, and it was a picture of, I'm guessing the owner, with a
big, he's one of the owners.
With a big stack of comics, basically saying it was like $1,400 worth of books, and it said this is the
For
last...
3 months.
Yeah, this is the last 3 months worth of unpicked up hold books. Books that were ordered and not picked up, and basically said... this is the problem for comic shops, people ordering stuff and not picking it up. That's more, you know, more so than, you know, bad comics or not enough good comics, things like that. It's where stores are literally spending money based on customer orders, and then they're being abandoned. And I'm like, wow, $1,400. I'm like, I bet I have a lot more than that. And I ran a report this morning, and I'm well into five digits as far as books.
Books and items.
Books and items. Because, you know, you also have, you know, I know one guy's had a statue here for probably 4 years, and it's like, oh, I'll pick it up. Well, it's still sitting here. And
what statue?
It's an Iron Man statue from a while back. But
take it home, Artie, Dave.
Yeah, no. And that really is, you know, it is a problem where, and it's funny because I've been reading, there was an article on The Beat that I read the comments to, and on Bleeding Cool and things. And it's interesting where there's a lot of venom towards stores saying, you know, I don't go to my store because they didn't order what I wanted, and stores should have a policy to deal with this. And it's like, you know, I do understand what you're saying, but we order, like, I know there's a lot of stores that require a credit card or a deposit and things like that. And personally, I just have faith in people. If you ask me to order something, I'm going to order it for you and you're going to come and pick it up. I think, you know, it's just faith. You know, it's, and maybe I'm naive, but I tend to want to believe people. So,
and I don't think the deposit would be effective. Anyways, if you
know, it would be on something like, if you want me to order you a $300 statue, okay,
something that big,
I'm going to need some cash
but
down.
Even, like, there are some stores where to have a pull list, you're buying
right,
you know, in advance. I don't think in this age where you can just go buy it online or go somewhere else easily, there you can ask someone to pay in advance because they're just
right,
going to say,
no,
"Well, I'll just go,
no,
you know, get it cheaper elsewhere." But the there has to be some sort of way to protect the stores from being stuck with all this
right,
merchandise.
And a lot of it was complaints, you know, why should I have to order something ahead of time if I don't even know what it is? And I'm like, I totally get that. Completely understand. But you're asking me to order a book that's non-returnable and guess a number to satisfy everybody without knowing how many people are essentially interested in it. Now, I'll never make you buy something you order, except for, like, really, you know, very specific statues that, you know, I couldn't sell otherwise. But, you know, if a book comes out and you realize you hated
the
art.
Statues from the back of the previous catalog?
Yeah. So, I mean, you could always hand stuff back. I'm not a real stickler on that. If you know, one copy of something isn't really going to kill me. But if you order, like, a specific art book or something like that, yeah, you know, something that I'm not normally going to carry. But, you know, I'm looking, like, my books that are over 60 days old, there are 3,051 items that I've had in the store for over 61 days that have not been picked up. That's a lot. That's a lot of to be sitting on it. I still remember one customer who let it go and then would come in every once in a while and make a big deal. It's like, oh, I'm going to make your day. I'm going to pick up, you know, however much worth of stuff. And, like, he was doing me this big favor. And finally, one day I looked at him, I said, you do realize I paid for all this stuff and you're just paying me back. And he was under the impression I didn't pay for the stuff until he paid me. So I wasn't out any money or anything. And it's like, no, I'm sitting here, I've paid for all this stuff. Now, granted, you know, I paid wholesale and you're paying me retail for it.
Yeah.
But the fact of it is, you know, even at wholesale, I'm into five digits on stuff that I'm holding, and that's a lot of money. And it was funny because I think I was talking with you last night. I'm like, if everybody came in and picked all their stuff up, I would be golden. I'd be sitting fine. And it's one of those, and that's not really an unreasonable thing,
no,
that people come in and pick up all the books and merchandise that I'm holding for them that they asked me to get in for them.
And not only does it tie up funds that you're spending your money on something essentially on a zero interest savings account.
Yeah.
That just sits here for, you know, however long, possibly years, with no guarantee that you're ever going to get that money back.
Right, and the other problem is I can't sell it to somebody else. Right, and
you don't have a huge amount of space for storage
no,
either here.
And part of it, it's funny, I want to clear off the one white shelf so that I can put those folders that have grown too big to be in the file cabinet. And, you know, what I used to do, I used to have some short boxes there, and then, you know, you see I have your nice little name tag up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can see, wow, this guy's real, you know, almost like a public shaming. Not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to call anybody out, but hey, you stuck me here. So, like, I'm looking at the list going through it. Now, granted, there's a lot of mistakes on this list where it's stuff where something's maybe showing in the folder that shouldn't be. I know we need to do a better job of clearing stuff out, like, especially like with DC, where each book has two covers, and if you decide you want a different cover and buy that one, it doesn't take the other one out of your folder. So I'm going to go through all these and double check that stuff. But it's just, there's a, and now granted, there are a couple, it really, there's five people that are problems, one of which is a huge problem, who's literally a third of the thing that I'm going to have to deal with. But it's still, there's a lot there. So what I almost would want to say is, you know, if you have something sitting in your folder, go pick it up. I know there were a couple people that came in today. It's like, hey, haven't seen you in a while, but I don't also doubt they cleared out their entire folder.
Have you had to cut anyone off before?
I mean, I have. I mean, nobody where it's like, you know what, you have too much and I've had to put a pause on your thing. But if I haven't seen you in a while, yeah. I'm looking at, again, at the list. Now, the one nice thing with the card program is generally I have your email. So I will send an email saying, hey, mm-hmm. you know, I haven't seen you in a while. One of these is kind of my fault. My fault and Tim's fault. Not Tim's fault per se, but a little bit that I need to talk to him about. But it's a customer that moved away and wanted me to mail him books. And the problem is, since Tim's been in and he's doing the polls, I'm not seeing this guy's name every week and thinking, oh, I should email him, let him know if, you know, he wants me to send him stuff. So it kind of dawned on me that, gosh, I for some reason it dawned on me that he was still, you know, I guess getting pulled. And he's got a huge folder, like 100 books in there. And it's, and the problem was I sent him a message and he's like, oh, I didn't want to be a pest and bother you. I'm like, no, please be a pest because I completely forgot about you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not in my face, and, you know, there's a lot going on in trying to remember something like that. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, but he's probably going to switch to trades now, so I'm going to be, you know, these 100 books are going to be, I'm going to be stuck with. And the problem is, you know, a book that was, you know, hot in April isn't so hot right now. That's one of the downfalls. So
that's $400 worth of retail product.
Yeah. So I'm... Yeah, and then it just, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, in some of the names I look at, I'm like, oh, no, that's okay. This is a guy who only comes in once every 6 months, but he's generally pretty steady. So
what do you do to try and curb this moving forward?
Well, I'm going to set up a new, I don't know, policy, but I'll post something about it. Basically saying if you haven't been in 60 days and I haven't heard from you, like there are some people that I know, you know, I have a couple customers that live in outside Wheeling. And they only come up every couple of months or so. Okay, and sometimes their folders get big, and I get it.
Yeah.
But after 60 days, if you haven't been in, I'm going to shoot an email and say, hey, do you still want me pulling this stuff for you? You know, and I'm very easy to get a hold of.
Communication is the key.
And that's all. If you say, hey, sorry, people, I haven't been in a while. Like,
should,
I mean, the
should contact you and let them know what they're doing.
The big story, you know, there was a guy who had
Ovechkin scored 35 seconds in.
Oh, wow. I had $5,000. One guy had $5,000 worth of stuff on hold. He was an every other week guy, steady as can be. He'd be in. He wouldn't pick up everything, but he was coming in every other week. And then all of a sudden, he was gone off the grid for 3 months. Well, I'm like, well, he hasn't placed an order because he was always a guy that would order stuff out of the previews. He hasn't placed an order and he hasn't picked anything up in 3 months. I put his stuff out, and then I get a call. Hey, I just finally, you know, I got a job. I'll be in to get my stuff. I'm like, I didn't hear from you for 3 months. No, I put your stuff out. He's like, oh, well, what'd you do that for? It's like, you could have called me any time in that period saying, hey, I lost my job. I still want the stuff. Please hold it. You know, that's all you have to say.
I've seen a lot of other stores say that their policy is, you know, they post, come in once a month and, you know, get your stuff.
Yeah.
If for some reason something comes up and you can't get your stuff, then just tell us, talk to us about it. We'll work with you on, you know, making sure that we don't just get rid of the stuff or sell it to someone else. But you have to, you know, talk to us about it so we're not just continuing to hold stuff to have you come in one day and say, oh, yeah, I don't want that stuff anymore.
Yeah. And because that's just a big...
It's tough. It's not a hugely lucrative market that you're in
No, it's not. It's not a high profit. And people are like, "Oh, well, you're making this much on every book." Well, yeah, but there's also I have to sell a lot of comics to pay the mortgage. So every one against that is a thing.
In niche products, yeah. So it's very hard to tell what's going to be hot and what's not going to be hot. I mean, how long have the Batman bills been sitting there? I mean, they probably sold well for
initially,
a while,
but, and then it definitely slowed. So I'll be posting something about it. Just not even a new policy, but just, I guess, formalizing a policy. But yeah, if you haven't been in 2 months or contacted me in 2 months, I am going to. I know some stores, it's like 2 weeks. After a month, they put your stuff out. After 2 weeks, I have one customer who travels a lot for work. And used to go to Ides. And he would come in, he'd be gone for 3 weeks, come in, and they're like, "Oh, we put your stuff out." And he didn't have it anymore. But that's a situation. I know that. So just hold on to his books. He'll be in. He's always good about getting his stuff. But yeah, there's just somewhere, what's going on? And it's just communication. You know, there were one guy sick, and I don't know if he lost his job or something, and I just emailed him recently saying, "Hey, it's been a while since I've seen you," and he responded back saying, "Yeah, sorry, stuff's come up, but yeah, I do want the books. I may have to change my poll." And I said, "Okay," and I emailed him his poll list. You know, let me know what you still want, what you don't want. Let me know if you want the stuff that's still in your folder. You know, just communication.
Yeah.
Because the sooner I can put it back on the shelf if you don't want it, the better. The fact that, you know, if you're... There's no reason to be embarrassed to come in. You know, "Oh, I have too much stuff there. I don't want to show my face." You know, I don't take it personally. What? If you hand it back and don't want it, I get it.
And
it's
you don't
okay.
have to give all the details, whatever's going on in your life.
No. Just say, "Hey, something came up." Like one guy hadn't been in a year. And I talked to, and he's like, "Yeah, really sorry. You know, the stuff is going on. I still want it." Okay, great. You know, wonderful. But just tell me that. You know, shoot me a note. You know, especially this guy, you know, has my cell phone. Text me. You know, just say, "Hey, sorry, something's come up. I'm really easy to get along with, but I don't, you know, when you just disappear, it's very hard, you know, because I have faith in people. And a lot of times, if I think about you, that will often, you know, some reason, I guess I send a psychic signal to you and makes you come in shortly thereafter. But yeah, like one guy, he was an every week guy, and the last time he was in was last week in November. And so he hasn't been in all through December or in January. And sadly, his poll is, yeah, actually, I don't even know if he probably didn't make the list. Let me see. No, because it hasn't been 60 days yet. But he literally has a short box since then of books. And it's like, okay, in little things like I know he rides the T, and there were a couple weeks where the tea was shut down due to ice and stuff, so I didn't come in, and there was the Steel City Con where I know normally he wouldn't come in that week because he was saving money for that, and then, you know, just little things, but it's like, okay, now we're at 6 weeks, what's going on? It's a lot of stuff. And the other problem is he's both covers of every DC book that he gets. He's every cover of some other books that have four or five covers. So there's just a lot of the same in there, and that I ordered in for him. So now all of a sudden, if I have to put all five covers of that book back out, that's a hit for me. You know, especially they're $4 books, so that's $20 I lost on each issue of these books. I realize it's a lot for him, but it's like, you know, again, communication. Hey, you know, and so I'll send him a note tomorrow. Just say, "Hey, haven't seen you in a while. What's up? You know, do you still want me to keep pulling books?" Not trying to be reactionary, but it's, you know, it adds up quick when, you know, think about a short box full of new comics is a lot of money.
I think you're being reasonable. It's, you don't want to,
I don't want to alienate anybody. It's not like I'm yelling, and I try to be as friendly as possible in the email.
But at the same time, you can't, and it's not just you, it's other stores too, but these local comic shops, if you want to continue to thrive, you can't be left holding the bag. Because right now, a big concern is, you know, how many shops are going to be closing with the way the market is right now. And this is just another thing that makes it more difficult for people to make a living in this business. And when the local comic shops go away, people also lose that, you know, community that you know, are into those same niche things that they are into.
Yeah.
You don't get that from buying, you know, online.
Right. You know, just talking, "Hey, what's good?" You know, like...
Yeah.
So I'd like to think I have a, you know, give you a service and I'm friendly and have the product you want, but
you service lots of people.
Yeah, don't just don't, yeah, don't leave me stuck with stuff that, you know, just because you didn't want it anymore. So that's all. That's my editorial. That's all I got. Stuff I wanted to talk about, other than books, and I read a boatload of books.
Good, yeah. Intro.
Yeah, I'm trying to be, you know, trying to stay positive, and, you know, certainly not a negative thing, but yeah, just let me know, and if you have something here, you know, come get it. You know, because I'm happy to order stuff, but yeah, I don't want it sitting here.
So how are things going in the store otherwise?
Any, doing okay. Today
any
was
sales
today,
right now.
Right now, we just the only sale we're doing is the double points on Superman trades, so that's doing well. I blew through all my copies of Superman last week. That made me really happy. And it's just funny, looking at Batman, I don't think I sold a single copy of the Batman Rebirth trade. So maybe it's because I've been talking up Superman and people were finally...
Batman or Green Arrow?
I don't think I sold a Green Arrow, but I'm looking on the shelf. It looks like I sold one Aquaman, but I don't think I sold any Batmans.
Oh.
Today. So I'm not worried about it.
There may have been a lot of people that weren't buying Superman...
Yeah, they decided to wait and try it. Yeah. No, and that, we've definitely been talking that one up.
I was talking about it.
Crazily. I will be making a shelf on the DC rack for the Rebirth trades now that we're, you know, I think every week we're getting a couple. So I've heard, what I love is Matt Lytle, who's mostly a Marvel guy, but he reads a lot of DC, but Aquaman is his favorite book, which even he can't believe he's saying. So that's kind of cool.
It's a interesting take. It's been pretty good. Any of the graphic novel sales, the overstock
right
sales?
Right now, the overstock sale, there's lots of good stuff. It's not, you know...
Just restocked?
Junk, yeah, we brought more up on Saturday. So, sadly, it's not alphabetical or anything, so you gotta search for a little bit. Yeah.
Find a treasure.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know sales planned right now, but things can change. Like, I did a sale yesterday just to kind of spur stuff. Nobody came in, but... nobody came in mostly all day.
Oh, yeah, you had the statues.
Yeah, I figured we'll do a Superman-based statue and action figure, see if I can get anybody in. So, yeah, just a lot of stuff. I am going to be changing up, especially the half-off comic. A little display that I have in between in the doorway. Sadly, I let that sit and get stagnant with the same book. So I put some new stuff in there, mostly like some of the Marvel number ones. So if you want to give it a shot and didn't want to pay full price, now here's your chance to... try some. I think I have like a lot of Guardians up there, Gamora and
Rocket.
Hawkeye. Yeah, Hawkeye was up there. So yeah, give it a try. Yeah, that's about it. That's about all I have for not venting, but just talking about conversationally.
What'd you read, David?
Oh, jumping on Dave first. Dave didn't read anything. He's boycotting comics like Adam.
I read a couple of things. It wasn't a real big week for me last week, but...
Would you say your wrestling name was it again?
Davey Boy Smith. My cousins called me that. Flintstones
was...
Number 7.
Very good.
It's very good.
This series is way better than it has any business being.
You've been reading this from the beginning, right?
Sure have.
Josh? Okay, I wasn't.
Yeah, once I saw that it was Mark Russell writing it, okay. Who was writing the recent Prez comic. I was on board for checking it out.
Okay, great. Yeah, great issue. Starts off with these alien trying to trade some really great beads to Fred for an ocean or two in Great Gazoo.
Steps in.
He's trying to make sure civilization evolves without any outside interference.
Even though he thinks the humanity is kind of doomed anyways.
And he's writing in his journal or talking, and yeah, it says like civilization is like the worst thing that could happen to this planet.
Yeah. So this book is it's a fantastic social commentary book.
Absolutely fantastic.
Mark Russell does a terrific job of taking current events and current points of view and, you know, fears that we all may have, and putting in a book like Flintstones, where you would never have expected it to be, and making it a great read as a comic, but also a very poignant read. And he did the same thing with Prez. Prez was way better than it had any business being. Way better than DC thought it was going to be in the beginning, based on how they marketed it. I mean,
Flintstones.
Mark Russell is a I didn't know who he was before Prez. He is an incredibly talented writer.
Very talented, because without him, this book, who knows what it could have been instead.
And the backdrop of this issue is at the quarry, there's an accident. This younger kid who is kind of headstrong and thinks he knows what he's doing, doesn't listen to Fred. An accident happens. He gets buried under a bunch of rubble. Mr. Slate just wants to, ignore and get back to business.
Right.
And Fred is hell-bent on digging this kid out. And dead or alive, they have to get him out of there and try
that,
and save
that
him.
Was such a great scene at the end there.
And, seeing that unfold with the Great Gazoo's journal entries about mankind.
Gazoo, coming to conclusion, maybe there's hope for humanity yet. And
it's just
so uplifting.
And I know this might, the way we're describing it might make it sound a bit cheesy, but it's really not. It really is done very well.
Yeah, it's done so well.
Yeah.
I read a Star Trek book last week.
Boldly Go. Had you read the ones before it?
I don't think I did, actually. But
so, backdrop on this, or backstory. Dave sent... Oh, no, I didn't do the picks this week. I just realized that. Man, I'm failing at the picks.
Wow.
Well, the semester started back up at work, so this has been a busy week. I forgot all about it yesterday and this morning. Sorry, guys. Anyways, last week Dave sent his picks, and Star Trek Boldly Go number 4 was on his picks. I didn't know he was reading it.
I didn't know I was either.
On Wednesday I said, oh, Dave, I didn't know you were reading Star Trek Boldly Go, because I've been reading it. He's like, yeah, I like the one issue that had Data and Geordi, and it was like, Data and Geordi haven't been in this book. This book takes place right after the last Star Trek movie. And so he was looking at the books and wasn't sure if you had been reading it or not. But you bought it anyways, just in case.
Yeah.
So were you lost at all as you were reading it, were you able to pick up pretty?
I picked up. I mean, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I know where you can get issues 1 through 3.
this is the movie cast.
Yeah.
And this is Spock. Has been captured by the Borg.
Yeah, so the Borg
assimilated.
Yeah, the Borg have come to the Alpha Quadrant much earlier than they would have in the normal timeline.
Well, I want to say correct me if I'm wrong, but on that text page, the opening of the issue, it says they're in Kirk is in the Endeavor. They're traveling through the neural zone.
The neutral zone.
It's neutral. It says neural.
Does it really?
It does.
I think it's a typo.
I have to share that too.
I think it has to be a typo.
It's a typo.
The neural zone?
I mean, it was a typo.
They're going through someone's brain.
I know, and I'm like, that's the neutral zone, right? I don't know everything about Star Trek, but I know it's the neutral zone. But
so, yeah, the Borg end up in the Alpha Quadrant. No one's seen this, threat before. And it turns out they are there because of the Narada, which was Nero's ship in the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie. And apparently the Narada had some Borg technology incorporated into it. And when the Borg sensed this ship in, this timeline far away from the Delta Quadrant and the Alpha Quadrant, they, sent ships to investigate it. And now the Borg are, have a course straight for the Romulan Empire, straight for Romulus, because this was a Romulan vessel to try and find the ship and figure out why it had Borg technology incorporated with it. And they're leaving destruction in their wake and assimilating people. And Spock was someone that they had captured and assimilated. And also, I don't know if he was in this issue or not. But the other Star Trek captain who was assimilated, I think it was the same, the guy from Wrath of Khan that also got, the thing put in his ear with Chekhov, who was the captain of the Reliant, and kind of turned on, or was mind-controlled and turned on Kirk and crew, and in this he's a Borg and has been forced to turn on them as well. This guy just, he can't catch a break. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. No,
I don't remember. Yeah, I like the stuff with Spock. They're having trouble assimilating Spock. He's half human, half...
Yeah, half so they didn't know how to handle his, like, brain structure, brain chemistry.
Yeah.
At first, I was a bit... Like, in the first issue, you didn't know that the Borg were involved. In the second issue, that's when we discovered Borg, I think. And I wasn't a huge fan of them using the Borg as a threat in this book, because the Borg are so closely tied to the Next Generation and Voyager 2 timelines and shows. So it seemed out of place for them to suddenly shoehorn that into the J.J. Abrams universe, original series, crew.
It was just such a great villain, though.
They're making it work now with the whole thing about the Narada, and I still wish they were using something other than the Borg. I feel like the Borg has been so overdone, and it's such an easy way to incorporate a massive threat. But they are doing it well. Mike Johnson's writing the book very well, and the art's very unique look to it. I can't remember who the artist is, but.
I can't remember either, but I like the art. It was right in between there, of getting the likenesses of the actors and kind of expressionistic at the same time. But I thought it worked, even though it's a weird amalgam of the movie universe and the original and the Next Generation with the Borg and everything. But I really liked it.
And for the record, the book that Dave was reading is Star Trek Waypoint.
Star Trek Waypoint. Those are kind of
Dave's crazy anthology
stories. I read Back to the Future, number 15. This is... I haven't talked about this one at all, really, but this is part three of a story. Who is Marty McFly? Kind of has a cool premise, because it's it kind of explores what happens when Marty changes all these timelines, and there's all these different versions of Marty, and what happens to these versions once he changes the timeline. So in this issue. In this arc, these Martys have come to our Marty's timeline and kidnap him, and they want to get some answers. But there's a twist here. I won't give that away. And Marty meets, all these other versions of themselves, like the version at the end of the original Back to the Future, who goes back to... who he watches go to 1955, and the younger version of his 2015 self, who... hurts his, he gets caught in that accident at the end of part three and hurts his hand, so he can't play the guitar.
That stink bug's driving me nuts.
Sorry.
Keeps flying around behind Dave.
I tried to get it.
It's written by Bob Gale, who, is the original writer.
I didn't know he was the writer for this.
Yeah. He's kind of tag teaming with somebody else. But yeah, he's behind it. So it kind of... art wasn't the greatest, but I think the story made up for it, because it showed kind of something new with these characters and didn't seem like a rehash of anything. So it was good. That's Back to the Future. And I have a little Marvel rant for my last book.
Uh-oh.
So that's interesting, because you, out of all of us here at the podcast, are normally the Marvel guy.
Yeah. But I bought that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 Prelude.
Okay.
$3. This was not a prelude to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. This was an adaptation of the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Well, technically,
that is a prelude to the second movie.
Technically, right, but...
So you weren't happy with your purchase?
That's fine. I think it was art was okay. Art was good, in the book, and there's nothing wrong with adaptations, but...
They should have told you what it was.
But that's not what these other Prelude books have been. So that was very discouraging of Marvel, and I think that was kind of ridiculous for them to brand this as a prelude when it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I would have assumed that this book would have like been whatever happens between the two movies.
Right. Yes, exactly. That's what I was expecting.
Or some direct setup for the second movie.
I mean, exactly. So, yes, I was kind of perturbed. I was kind of perturbed at that.
Dave burned by Marvel.
Even I get burned by Marvel. You should think I would have learned my lesson after Civil War II, but no.
You'll be back in for Secret Empire, which that starts free
comic. Secret Empire?
I think so. That's my guess. Yeah. It starts but my guess is...
I had that as a piece of news.
That's the free comic.
They announced Free Comic Day.
I probably will be in for Secret Empire for that first $5 book, I'm sure.
Oh, Free Comic Day book.
Oh, the Free Comic Book Day book. That one.
First one's free, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
You got to pay after that.
That will have nothing to do, I'm sure, with what Secret Empire
I was still
about.
Haven't read the Free Civil War, Free Comic Day Civil War book.
Yeah, that's
Civil War
book.
You are missing
book.
Out, man.
That was with Thanos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't read that. Yeah. Read it. Maybe one day. I don't know if I picked it up.
Too late.
I don't have
any
more. Read it, Josh. Read it. No, so I hate to end on a horrible note, but...
But you are.
Saved it for last, but I am. But I am. Yes.
Okay. Did you read Batman, Colin?
I did read Batman.
So, this arc was up and down.
Yes, the last arc. I Am Suicide was, yes.
But I did think that this epilogue was pretty fantastic, and it focused just on Batman and Catwoman. He wants her to turn herself in, take a plea deal for these 237, murders that he's convinced that she's not responsible for, but he can't prove it yet, and she's trying to convince him to let her have one more night of freedom before being turned over. So they spend the night going through Gotham and fighting criminals, everybody, and going on one last heist, which he's stealing something from herself.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. But this was good. This was a really, really good issue. Did a great job of showing the complex relationship that these two characters have. It was a kind of a sad issue, but it was really good. And Mitch Gerards was on the, or Gerards, however you say his name, was on art, and he was teamed up with Tom King on Sheriff of Babylon. And they seem like they work really well together. His art complemented the story perfectly. He's on the next book, too, because it's a two-issue epilogue arc to I Am Suicide. But no, it was a really good, really good book.
I agree.
I feel like...
It's nice seeing just a little two-parter as well.
I like the two-parter, and like this felt like a Tom King book.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when Tom King just tells, his own story, then he knocks out of the park with Batman. So I hope he is continuing to get more comfortable with the character and with the series as he moves forward, because the first arc of Batman was pretty good, but mm-hmm. this I Am Suicide, there were some issues that are just really out there. Aquaman 14. So this issue had the Aquamarines, I believe they were called, which is a special forces group within the U.S. military, who have, aside from their special training, they also have these abilities to take on the form of different aquatic life forms and be almost, a mashup of whatever that sea creature is and a human being. So, like, one is, like, half man, half orca. One's, this woman's half human, half, killer or great white shark. You get the picture, like, one's, like, half octopus. So
they're, like, shapeshifters?
I don't think they can change into other shapes. I just think they activate this ability that turns them into this aquatic, monster. So they are trying to infiltrate Atlantis and take out the head of state, Aquaman, and they end up killing other, leaders in the government, trying to get to him. They obviously fail, trying to take him out, and they end up being taken prisoner. And Atlantis is up in arms that the U.S. has, you know, tried to assassinate their leader. They've killed other people that are high up in the government. And everyone's trying to now force Arthur's hand to, you know, finally wage all-out war against the U.S. Even if the U.S. is conducting their operations based on false intel, they were still willing to go to extreme lengths to get rid of, you know, Aquaman because of the fear they have, fear and prejudice they have for the Atlanteans. So Arthur finally, you know, decides, you know, give me one last chance to try and stop this before it escalates. And if I can't, you know, bring it to an end, if I can't prove once and for all that, you know, there is this other group, Nemo, that's falsely, you know, or making it seem like Atlantis is doing these things, or Atlantis is attacking the U.S., then he will step down from being the ruler of Atlantis and let, you know, someone who is more in line with what the people are wanting right now take over. And he ends up tracing back some signals that Nemo is using to initiate this coral growth implant that their agents had to instantly kill them if they were captured, which they found out was a weakened version of his abilities. So he traces that back and finds where's Nemo's base of operations is at in Black Manta. So it looks like this is coming to an end now that he has, you know, found and confronted them. But it's good. I've liked the kind of political twist to this whole book, and seeing, I mean, there's plenty of action, but seeing Aquaman more as the head of state than just the, you know, superhero with the Justice League. It's been pretty good. Black Science 27. So this was a pretty fantastic issue. This series, it drastically changed about 10 issues or so ago. Like, it was originally almost like a, you know, Sliders-esque story, you know, if you're familiar with that.
I remember,
yeah.
Sliders.
Where they're jumping from, you know, dimension to dimension, and they only have a certain amount of time. Like, they don't get to really decide when they're going to be leaving because the pillar they had was broken. But now Grant is back on Earth. He found his daughter. She's back on Earth as well. His son's still out missing somewhere. Friends of his have died. He lost a lot of his genius because he traded it to this witch in one dimension to, you know, free his daughter. And now he's been captured by his previous employer in his dimension, and they want him to build them a new functioning pillar, but he can't do it because of his, you know, he's lost the knowledge to do so. So his daughter still remembers everything, and she is trying to set things right. And they find a signal for someone who was part of their group, but she's been infected by or taken over by this other race, and she's leading them to try and, you know, seem like eliminate the humans in this dimension and create an assault on this dimension. So she goes to stop it, and in the process discovers another beacon for, you know, one of the former members of the team, and it's her brother, and he is now, you know, grown up. He's probably about 10 years older than he was previously, and he seems to have, like, these super, you know, human abilities. And also with him was another member of the team, Sean, who we thought was dead at one point. So it's kind of a cool moment for longtime readers of the series to suddenly see these characters show back up again. It's such a you know, epic moment and kind of save the day. And they rescue her, but they couldn't stop the threat in time. And it looks like they've unleashed a weapon that has decimated that world. So I'm not sure what's going to happen for, you know, Grant, who's been kind of the main character, who is still imprisoned on the planet in this dimension that now seems to be, you know, decimated. But it was a really satisfying issue. Satisfying and still, you know, sets up some dire consequences for.
You said that about Rick Remender's books, that he's not shy about, you know, changing his
Rick
books.
Remender, yeah, his books, he does a fantastic job of not just, you know, following a linear path. Like, he will change things up on you drastically. every now and then, which really keeps the readers guessing.
Because I remember you said the same thing about Deadly Class week or the week before.
Yeah, Deadly Class were, I mean, for the first 2 years that book was coming out, we had what seemed like, our main characters, and suddenly, as far as we know, they're all, most of them are all dead at this point, and now we're following a new, group. One of the people is still around from previously, but, Rick Remender is one of, if not my favorite, indie writers. He does a lot of sci-fi stuff, and the way he does that, it really jives with me. Colin,
yes.
Did you read Superman 14?
I did. That was awesome.
That book was absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
And if you were a fan of Grant Morrison's Multiversity, then you need to pick this book up because this feels like a direct...
Yeah. Now, Multiversity, I've had a lot of fun talking to people about it, was basically Grant Morrison saying, here's everything the DC Universe can be. Let me spotlight a few things, but almost every issue kind of ended on a cliffhanger that someone else can jump on and take. And this one, Tomasi said, okay, I'm game. And basically, sorry, just got a text from Matt, who should be here, interrupting me. Sorry.
Refuting something you said about Marvel?
No, not at all. No, nothing bad. So Tomasi said, okay, so one of the things that it ended with was this Justice League, I forget what the name was, but of all these different heroes from different worlds, where you had Aqua Lady, I forget her name.
Justice League Incarnate, I think.
Yeah, so you had the President Obama Superman, you had,
I don't think he actually was president.
No, he wasn't, okay. But I think he was president in his...
He was president, yeah.
Yeah, but it looked like Obama. But then you had, it was an Abensur type of Green Lantern. You had a different Flash. It was a Justice League made up of all these different parts. Right. Yeah. And so it starts off with Red Sun Superman basically landing in front of Clark Kent's...
Clark.
Or not, Clark White's
Clark White
truck.
Is driving his truck.
He gets out and he's being chased by these things from...
Some alien things.
And it
looks like they need to catch him to consume him.
Right. But they're after him, but they're not after the Superman. They're looking for the Superman, the Chinese one.
Yeah.
So, and then all of a sudden this Justice League Incarnate shows up and talks to him, and they realize they have to go protect this guy. And in the meantime, new Superman has been overtaken and basically no longer exists. They can't see him to track anymore. And then it ends with them showing all these different Supermen who have been captured, and they've taken
Captain Carrot
out of his cage and zap him with something, and then it ends with him just being a regular rabbit. And that was the last scene. It's just like...
Regular rabbit in a mask.
Yeah, and it was just one of those, not Captain Carrot, but... It was just so much fun seeing him play with this.
When you see all these cages and it says, Earth 1 or whatever. Like, it was
all these different Earths. Yeah, and it was Ivan Reis art, which was just absolutely beautiful. It was just awesome.
It was fantastic.
This book has been so good. And it's like, how can it keep getting better? Normally books start off strong and they kind of lose a little bit of steam.
At some point, this book has to have a dud.
Yeah.
But I don't see it anywhere on the horizon.
No, it has been so, so good. So sorry, I completely stole your review.
No, this is fine. I the best thing I can say about it is I hope this is more than a 2-issue arc, because this is such a cool idea, and I'm excited to read more about it and see these characters more.
Yes, absolutely.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm hoping this is more than a 2-issue arc. I don't know how many it is. I don't remember off the top of my head, but this could be a 6-issue.
I really enjoy these 2-issue arcs, but this one I think is a really cool idea, and I want them to just run with it, have fun with it. Justice League?
Yes.
12?
I like that a lot as well.
Yeah, so this focused on Max Lord.
Yep.
And him being the head of, what was the organization he was?
He used to be head of Checkmate.
Checkmate, that's right.
And that was leading into Infinite Crisis long ago.
Ann and Grayson recently saw him as
Okay.
The head of that, too.
Okay.
And showing how he, I don't know if altercations are over, but was at odds with Amanda Waller because she was transporting, prisoners on this train, and he had intel that the train was a threat, so they took this train out and then, you know, put hands on Amanda Waller, so then she takes him down. We find out he has this bigger scheme in play to get information. Yep. But it was really good. This
I agree.
This issue was written by Tim Seeley, so not Brian Hitch.
Right.
But I really liked it, and it tied into Justice League versus Suicide Squad perfectly.
Yep, solid book. Yep. But again, in one you didn't have to read the event, but definitely added you a lot of flavor and gave you a background on the character.
I think the intent was to read that before the Justice League versus Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I think I read it in reverse. After too. Yeah. But it's still everything made sense.
It's mostly just flavor for that.
And then moving right into Justice League vs. Suicide Squad. Yep. So this is where we had the Justice League all captured in Belrive Prison. And, of course, Batman is the one that escapes. And Amanda Waller.
I thought you'd be out an hour ago. Yeah.
And they find out what the bigger threat is. So, you know, she tells them while they were busy being concerned with her team that Max Lord was breaking out even more dangerous criminals, who we find out was the original Suicide Squad.
And I had read a review, or at least glanced at a review, that said it was a little too talky and stuff. I'm like, no, it needed to be, because it needed
It was talky, and not a lot happened, but we needed a setup issue.
Right, like and it's hard to set something like this up. You know, they didn't want to give away the entire plot in the first issue.
Yeah, because the title of this series, Justice League vs. Suicide Squad, isn't, you know, Batman and Company against
current Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Harley and Deadshot and all them. It's against this original Suicide Squad. With Lobo, and it seems like a much better
threat. And the thing I liked about it was I didn't know these characters. So in this issue basically told you who these characters were. And
I think
what
the
I really
only
liked,
character I mean I knew was Lobo.
Lobo, yeah.
And Max Lord.
No. And what I liked is you had the Emerald Empress who maybe it's today's issue. She screams out that she's gotta find Saturn Girl. So that's Lee tying into the rest of the universe. But also, what was nice was it was showing you she's a Legion villain, so maybe this is going to set up a Legion book. Johnny Sorrow is a Justice Society villain, so maybe that's going to lead into a new Justice Society book. I'm not sure about the others, but I like that aspect.
I wasn't familiar with Johnny Sorrow at all.
No, but a very intriguing character, though. And the other guy
seems massively powerful.
Yes, yes. It looks very simple, just a guy with a mask who's basically invisible. There was a neat scene in this issue where he shows his face to Harley and supposed to drive you insane, but it had no effect.
I like what they've been doing with her, like in a Suicide Squad arc where something was driving everyone insane. It made her insane.
And then the Suicide Squad issue that came out today, similar to this Justice League one, isn't vitally important, but what it was is it was basically the story of the original Suicide Squad's first mission and how it went wrong and how now Amanda Waller has changed the way she did things because this one turned on her so badly. So it was very good.
Cool. Now I've really been liking this crossover event.
Yeah, and I like the fact that it's weekly. So every week, you know, boom, 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 it's going to be done in 6 weeks.
Feels
you're done.
Great on it. Justice League of America, The Atom Rebirth number one.
Yes.
So, origin of Ryan Choi.
Right, and it's basically mostly just kind of a full issue of his part in Rebirth, the Rebirth special.
Yeah.
Because as I'm reading, I'm like, I've read this, but it was just kind of fleshing it out. Not bad. The art in the issue was much better than the cover. I thought the cover was atrocious.
Was not good at all. The variant cover wasn't bad.
No, that one, but the main one was terrible,
cover
but
was
the
awful.
Inside was... Good.
Yeah,
the art was just
good.
Fine.
And this was essentially his first 2 years at college.
Yep. Working with
Ray Palmer. You know, Ray Palmer asked him, like, why is he really there? What does he really, really want? And it ends with, you know, the mystery of something happened to Ray Palmer. Ray Palmer's gone, and Ryan Choi now has to, use these powers to try and find Ray Palmer and track him down. But no, it was good. It was a fine setup for who the character is. I don't know how this leads into this Justice League of America book at all.
It's not leading into it, but basically I think it's they're spotlighting the characters that are in that, who you're not familiar with, characters who I'm going to say probably haven't been in Rebirth yet. So you have this one today, Vixen came out, next week it's Rey, then you're going to have, what is it, a Killer Frost?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Is there going to be a Lobo one?
I don't think so, not yet, unless maybe it'll... I didn't look in this previews yet. So, yeah, I don't know, but I think it's just spotlighting some lesser-known characters. So, not bad. I mean, it was fine.
No Vixen variants today.
Well, they were all damaged, so I'll have
the main cover wasn't bad, though.
No.
Unlike the Ray Palmer one, or the Ryan Choi one.
Yep.
Green Lanterns 14. So this was the conclusion for the Phantom Lantern arc. It was good. Some parts were a bit heavy-handed. One thing throughout this entire arc, the guy who was the Phantom Lantern hasn't really seemed like that much of a threat or that fleshed out. Like, he seems, you know, kind of crazy, but even now I can't remember his name off the top of my head, and I've been reading about him for a whole arc now, which is a bit of a problem. But
Timmy.
Essentially, in this issue, he ends up, because he doesn't have control over his emotions, so the Phantom Ring keeps changing him into the Lantern type of whatever his current dominant emotion is. And when they save him, even though he's been a threat against him, suddenly he is filled with compassion and, you know, becomes Indigo.
He just says knock the whole time?
He doesn't say knock.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, I think maybe he is, because it was translating what he was saying. And he realizes what he's been doing and how he doesn't deserve the ring. So he takes the ring off to give it to them. And as soon as he takes the ring off, he loses that compassion and realizes what he did and tries to scramble to get it back again. But they knock it out of his hands. And then Jessica Cruz grabs it and puts it on. And she's not sure what's going to happen to her. But this is the part that's a bit heavy-handed. She remains a Green Lantern. So that, to her, finally reassures her that she does have a lot of will. The will is her dominant emotion, even though she's been doubting herself the whole time. And suddenly she's able to do constructs and all this stuff that she hasn't been able to do for 14 issues. So it was cool. It was cool seeing her, you know, have this moment, but it just a bit heavy-handed. That's the best way I can describe it. And then they think that Volthoom has been vanquished by their banished guardian that they have with them, but we find out that Volthoom seems to have taken over his body and is now going to be directing these lanterns on Earth on missions of his choosing. And they have two lanterns. They called for assistance, and two of the other lanterns from the Green Lantern Corps showed up, and Volthoom, guys, this guardian, you know, sends them away and, you know, says that it's all, he'll take care of things now. So, setting up for whatever's coming next. But it was good. Just again, a bit heavy-handed. Are there any other ones that I want to? Oh, A&A number 11. So I'll talk about this real quick. This is continuing the Gub Gub and Archer being swapped places.
Yeah, Adam mentioned next issue is the last one. He was very sad.
Last one of the series?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm. I didn't. According to Adam, I don't know.
I know the series was ending at issue 12.
Yes, it is. I don't know. Again,
it's one thing that Valiant, like, quietly stops these books. And, I mean, they come to their natural conclusion, I guess. But it never feels like they actually say this is the final issue. I hope Adam's wrong.
I agree. Well, I wouldn't put it past him.
But Gub Gub is still, you know, swap bodies with Archer. Archer in Gub Gub's body is captured by, you know, all these other clones of Armstrong that want to dissect him to see, you know, the secret of successfully cloning his abilities. It was just fun because Archer has this side ability where he can, you know, pull from like this library of different martial arts, and he's a master of all these things. And he's trying to do that as Gub Gub, but he can't because he's not in his normal body. So he doesn't have those same abilities anymore. And at the same time, while Armstrong and company are back, they're trying to formulate a plan to, you know, rescue Archer Gub Gub. We have Gub Gub and Archer's body just, you know, going through normal Gub Gub shenanigans. But it's been a fun, kind of zany, but, you know, it all makes sense in terms of the book series. It was good.
And I think that is enough.
Oh, there's one more.
Which one? Which other one?
Moon Knight.
I didn't read Moon Knight yet.
You read one? I did.
I didn't know you were reading Moon Knight.
I wasn't. Oh. But you've been talking, giving it glowing reviews, so
I was very sour about the whole digital code thing, so I didn't read it yet.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
Instead, I got caught up on other books.
Okay. So I got a list. Although you did knock some of mine off. Avengers number 3. Anybody read that? No. Okay. It's a time travel story, which is confusing because there's three different Kangs from three different time periods. It was just very convoluted. One of the Kangs went back and killed all the Avengers as children, yet if they're close enough to this medallion, they're okay. And then somehow they were able to fix it. It was just very confusing. The art, it's Mike Del Mundo art, which is very pretty art, but very confusing in a time travel story where things are just odd. It's just a very weird book. It's just very weird. Box Office Poison, I decided to read. It's a reprint of an old black and white series that they colored and are kind of reissuing it. Interesting, it's just very much a slice of life book, one of those kind of indie type books, just a guy's life. He's moving into this new apartment, meets a girl, and then the stories of, it's dealing with him breaking up with the girl, and just all sorts of stuff. But just very much, like a classic indie slice of life book. Very enjoyable. I'm going to keep reading this, because I enjoyed it muchly. Fall and Rise of Captain Atom.
How was that?
It's hard to say. He had a series that went 12 issues when New 52 started. And I only read a couple issues, but this definitely felt like the same thing. He was having trouble controlling his powers. There was the science guy in this place where he lived that were monitoring him. And he would go out and he'd try to help people, but then his powers were kind of exploding. He's kind of out there and losing control, and the Justice League comes across him, and like Green Lantern's trying to hold him via a will bubble. And he's doing okay trying to get him back, and then all of a sudden he explodes. And he comes back in, he's like, how many people did I kill? Because he doesn't know what's going on. And it seemed like it was like four pages worth of story that kind of just kept going over and over and over again. So not bad, but just you don't know a whole lot what's there. It definitely looks like it's trying to reintroduce him into Rebirth.
Which I'm kind of surprised about, considering the introduction of Dr. Manhattan, too.
Right. And the weird thing about this is we had the...
Because, he's an analog for the character.
It was just weird that we had the Atom Rebirth issue and then Captain Atom. It was like a lot of Atom in one week. Not bad.
That's true.
Yeah, not bad, but it needs a little more. The first one was a little thin. Art was really good, but yeah, I'm not quite sure what to make of this yet. Hawkeye 2 was good. Basically, she's investigating this person who she was helping in the first issue has gone missing, and she's trying to find them, and you find out there's this cult group who's having meetings, and now she tried to infiltrate one of their meetings and was exposed, and now they're chasing her.
I've heard this series.
Yeah, it was good. It was very good. Now, I didn't read most of Fraction's run. I read a couple, and it definitely has that feeling. The art is very similar. So, yeah, no, it's been enjoyable. I have no problem with it.
I might pick up the first issue since it's on the half off.
Yeah, well, I did put it there because they overshipped me, so I have lots of extra, and I'd rather people read it. The chance you might read number two. Unworthy Thor, number 3, good. It's very much setting up the new Asgard Shi'ar War that started in Mighty Thor today. Basically, the Collector has captured Asgard because he wants Ultimate Thor's hammer, but he can't lift it and nobody can lift it. And then Beta Ray Bill comes to help out Thor. Or old Thor, unworthy Thor, and at one point he kind of goes into a berserker rage, and he's attacking Beta Ray Bill, saying, I want the hammer, and Beta Ray Bill is basically, take it, I want you to have it, it's more yours than mine anyway. But very good, they released this Hellhound that had also been captured by the Collector, so I'm wondering where this is going to go, because he was like threatening to eat Thor's goat, and he's like, the goat can take you and me. So very good, very enjoyable, and it's just nice seeing original Thor again, and I think it's something people really do want. So that's been enjoyable. U.S. Avengers number one, which is basically a continuation of New Avengers, which I only read issue one of. So how it got to where it is, I don't know, but it basically just reintroducing all the characters, which is a little weird because you have Red Hulk, who's still General Ross, but basically has had something implanted in him where, like, once every 2 days for 1 hour, he can become the Hulk. He has, like, a button implanted in him that as soon as the time's up, he can push it at any time and become the Hulk. So, like, they needed Hulk to do something because this ship was advancing. He's like, I can't do anything yet. Hang on. You know, give me an hour. We don't have an hour type of thing.
I guess they undid all that in the Hulk book from 2 years ago.
Okay.
He took the all the Hulk. He was going after all the Hulks and took all the powers away.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. I don't know. Squirrel Girl's in it. She had an army of squirrels, which I'll come back to that for a second in a bit. Then two new characters, one of which is the new Iron Patriot, who's actually the daughter of Dr. Yin Seng. And I'm like, why do I know this name? As I'm reading, well, it turns out that is the guy who was in the cave with Tony Stark when it's his daughter, of course it is. And then there's this other character who I think is new. She's like Norwegian. And I'm not sure how to read this one passage where it said she was there because of the person that she loves. She was there because of Dr. Yin Sing's daughter. She was there because of something else. So I don't know if that's the person she loves and they're trying to introduce some lesbian characters or not, or if she loves someone else. I don't know because I don't know who this person is. Then you also had Cannonball, and then Roberto da Costa, which is weird because they had his funeral in the last issue of New Avengers, and then he showed up again at the end, and then this one just kind of starts, and he's there, and no one said anything about it, like, I thought you were dead or anything. It's like they dropped that whole plot point. So that was a little odd. And then at the very end, all of a sudden, a new character shows up, because it's like they were doing these videos to try to make them acceptable, because now they're part of S.H.I.E.L.D., instead of being this rebel AIM base, because Roberto da Costa bought AIM, and these were part of it, and so now they're, like, on the up and up, and so they did, like, these little videos explaining who they were and stuff, and that's basically what you were reading, a lot of talking head. But then at the very end, Captain America shows up, but it's Captain America from the future who's actually Luke Cage's daughter, and it's like, what? As you're kind of looking at her on the page. Oh, so okay. That was an odd issue. It was funny, I was talking with Jermaine a little bit, and he was talking about some books, and I said, my problem with some of these books is that there are certain characters in the Marvel Universe who are a stop sign for me, who the fact that they're in a book will make me not want to read it. One of it's Deadpool. I don't hate Deadpool, but the fact that he's in Uncanny Avengers makes me not want to read that book. Another store, Jetpack Comics in New Hampshire, mentioned that he's seen five people this week canceled Champions from their poll because Gwenpool was going to be added to the team. And they're not a fan of her, just the basic idea of her. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. And for me, also Squirrel Girl. That's great in her own book, and people are enjoying it. That's awesome. But putting her on another team, taking her out of her own little cute book, fun book, under this other team is just a red flag for me. I'm not a fan of her, so it makes me not want to read the book. So, and then, well, the second to last book I want to talk about is Deadpool the Duck. Yeah. Deadpool has been enlisted by the S.H.I.E.L.D. receptionist, because no one else was willing to go talk to him, to take on this mission. And it turns out the mission is Rocket Raccoon has come down with space rabies. And Deadpool...
What?
Rocket Raccoon has come down with space rabies, and Deadpool, they need Deadpool because he can't really be hurt and he can deal with superpowered things. He's been recruited to go take him down. So he does that. While that's going on, Howard the Duck is just driving his new car through town, and suddenly he is attacked by Rocket Raccoon. He's foaming at the mouth and everything, and he's like, whoa, you know, wah! And So Deadpool, part of his thing is he has a teleporter on his wrist that he had forgotten he had. So he teleports there, and then he's trying to get a hold of Rocket, and, you know, hijinks ensue. And all of a sudden, all three of them are together, and he pushes the button on the teleporter to teleport him away and accidentally merges a la The Fly with Howard the Duck and becomes Deadpool the Duck. Yeah, it was a really bad... It becomes a really bad just issue. It was just dumb. So it was kind of funny. So I finished that book, and I was on a real roll. I read most of these in one night. I was just really going through books. I was enjoying it. And then that one really just brought me to a stop. And I think the next one on my list was Slapstick, and I was just like, I can't do it. I can't do it. So I actually decided to read AD After Death number 2.
Ooh.
Knowing that that was going to be a long read, but I felt that that would clear my palate after Deadpool the Duck. And that was unbelievable. My biggest concern with that... Did you read that, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. I know what you talked about last week. My biggest concern with this book is... We're barely into the story. We don't know what they found out, why... There's just so much going on, so much left unexplained. I just don't... I mean, I'm sure it's Snyder. He has a plan. But how they're going to wrap all this story up while finishing the story in one more issue. Just really delightful. The story of him after his mom died and going back to the houses she used to go to, furthering the story of him. It definitely appears from the very first pages that he's on monitor duty in this one place, and he's decided they're listening for something coming from this cavern, and you don't know why, but now he's decided he thought he heard a voice. He's going down in there. My guess is that's where all of death is or something like that. Then you still have the cow. Just so much in this. Just such a really enjoyable read, and for $6, there's just a whole lot there. Really there's a nice whole package. Lot of book there.
No, it's probably one of the best values on the shelf right now.
Absolutely. At $6, yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And yeah, I don't know how they're going to wrap it up in one.
Yeah.
In one
I can't imagine
book.
Them explaining everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At this point, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I mean they don't have to, but it's just like, wow, there's still so much story to tell.
I mean, these two guys are two, you know, stellar, you know, comic creators in their own right, and together, they make a fantastic team. Scott Snyder's prose and Jeff Lemire's artwork, especially even like in just like the small little drawings he does on the pages with all the prose on it. They complement each other perfectly. It's fantastic.
Yep. 100% agree. So that's all I read, but I think it was 12 books, so I'm kind of happy with that.
I wanted to ask you, Colin, what exactly did you... I saw the photo, the stuff you got from Jeff Lemire.
Yeah. It was a neat little bundle.
It's for Royal
right
City.
Right there if you want to grab it and take a look at it. Yeah, it was a neat... It's a little preview, like a little ash can of
which
the first
today.
Issue.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, go ahead and pull it out. But that's what came in. Yeah, exactly. A couple buttons, a sticker, a postcard, a neat little print that is one of... What was it?
525.
Yeah, 525. So that's pretty cool. I got one number 158. So that's neat that I'm of a clearly a small select group. Just a neat little thing to send out. It's got a little bag with the Royal City stamp on it. Just really well done little promotional thing. I mean, not like I'm not going to order a Jeff Lemire thing.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure what the deal was with this book, so I read the little preview.
It looked very much like Essex County to me.
Yeah,
and that might just be his art style, but
it is his art style. It looks like Essex County, like Sweet Tooth, Trillium, like those books. But it's a interesting intro to this story so far. Like this older guy goes out into his workshop to work on this radio after he gets into argument with his wife over having a midnight snack of potato salad. And he's working the radio, and also on the radio, he hears someone say, you know, dad, daddy. And he has a reaction to what they're saying, and suddenly has a stroke. And then his son is in the car and sees some, you know, figure on the street that seems to disappear. And it seems like a cool mystery that's being set up.
cool. in Jeff Lemire's style of art, which is one of my favorites out there. It's really good.
Yeah, Royal City.
I read it and I immediately told Colin to sign me up for it.
Yeah. So I really appreciate the artists and the creators who go above and beyond. You know, he didn't have to do this, but it's just a real neat little thing for me. Yeah, just above and beyond. You know, definitely an extra step, which I greatly appreciate.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's all I have for this week.
I think that's all I have too. Dave, anything else?
That's it.
I'll talk about Moon Knight next week after you read it, because there's no urgency.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. I felt a little bit lost, but you know, coming in at issue 10, where I think I read the first two, so maybe you'll be able to fill in some holes. You'll have to talk a lot more next time, because I will have forgotten by then, because my memory is shot.
Oh, Pat read it too.
Okay. So, next week.
Oh, let me just say, because I know you guys read it before and talked about it, but I read the Dark Knight 3 hardcover for issue 7 today, and you guys were correct. It was fantastic, possibly the best issue of this series so far.
I agree. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
So, next week, we have All New X-Men, which is part of Inhumans vs. X-Men. Amazing Spider-Man, which is part of Clone Conspiracy. Angel Season 11, number one, so they're continuing that. Mm-hmm. Batman 15, the second half of that Catwoman story. Black Hammer Giant-Sized Annual. I think the main reason I highlighted this was this is where things get a little squirrely. I was luckily remembered to up it on FOC, but Black Hammer every month ships with two covers, yet the annual only has one cover. So it's one of those where I have to catch myself and remember, because, you know, I'm selling X number of cover A and Y number of cover B, but I have to merge those on something like this where there's only one cover, but there's no cue to remind me that there were two covers of the regular, and initially I'd only ordered enough for cover A, and I was able to bump it to add cover B to it, because I remembered.
Before you read your list, can I read this book real quick?
Yeah.
So I just looked at the letter that was in the Rural City package that Colin got, and in this letter from Jeff Lemire, it has a pretty good like little blurb describing what the book's about that does much better than my quick description of what the preview issue was. So, Rural City follows Patrick Pike, a fading literary star who reluctantly returns to the once thriving factory town where he grew up and is quickly drawn back into the dramas of his two adult siblings, his overbearing mother, and his browbeaten father, all of whom are still haunted by different versions of his youngest brother, Tommy, who drowned decades ago, which that's probably the person he saw as he was driving. What follows is a mysterious journey into his family's past, into the strange underbelly of the town he grew up in. This book will combine grounded family drama with healthy dose of magical realism and mystery, much like my previous books, Essex County and The Underwater Welder, which is also a fantastic graphic novel. And the first issue will be a double-sized 56-page issue. Wow. So this definitely sounds like it harkens back to Jeff Lemire's, you know, best works, in my opinion, what I wrote of his. So. Sorry.
That's okay. So also next week, Cave Carson number 4, Clandestino number 5, which I'm glad this is coming up. It's funny, I ordered this last December 2015. Clone Conspiracy. So it's nice we're getting Spider-Man and Clone Conspiracy the same week, because you can't schedule these things. Curse Words number 1. This is the new Charles Soule book. Deadpool the Duck number 2, if I didn't hype it enough for you. Divinity 3 Eric number 1.
Yeah, XO, Man
of War.
People
are really enjoying this. You getting your water?
Mm-hmm.
Dollface number 1.
Are they people other than me have been enjoying
it? Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Dollface number 1. Now, this is local creator Brian Seaton, who actually is the CEO of Action Lab, who is a customer, wrote this one. So we might have him on next week. He had asked me about doing it. This kind of got delayed a couple times, so we'll see. We'll see if we talk to him. The Few number 1. This is from Image. This is a post-apocalyptic kind of book about a group of survivors who come across somebody in the woods that they have to figure out what to do with. Gamora number 2, I did like number 1. Generation Zero number 6, Josh.
Nice.
Goddamned Trade number 1, which I enjoy because I ordered in February, but it took so long for the last issue of it to come out. Harbinger Renegade number 3, so we got a lot of Valiant next week. He-Man Thundercats 4, which I cannot keep on the shelf because you guys are insanely buying it up. Justice League 13, which is a crossover into the Justice League Suicide Squad. Justice League Suicide Squad number 5. My gosh, that's 5 issues in a row at weekly. It's crazy. And then Justice League of America, the Ray Rebirth. We have the Commandy Challenge special, which I'm excited about. It increased in price. Basically, I think it's a little primer on Commandy with the Commandy book coming out, the Commandy Challenge. But the neat thing with the Commandy Challenge special is they upped the price because they're including 2 issues of Commandy, the last 2 issues of Commandy that were never before printed. Wow. Long ago in the 70s, there was this thing called the DC Explosion. That's what they tabbed it. And they added all these new titles. Firestorm, I know, was one of them. And, you know, they were exploding their line, and it was going to be great, and it quickly turned very, very sour. And they canceled a ton of books, and it's been referred to since as the DC implosion. Part of that was Commandy, and the last 2 issues of the series never were published.
Jack Kirby?
No, Jack Kirby was off the book by then. Okay. I think he was back at Marvel. But it just, you know, the series never ended.
Okay.
The only place they'd ever been printed was in the canceled comics Cavalcade, which essentially was just a Xerox of these issues just to publish them for publication's sake. I remember when the Firestorm trade came out of the original Firestorm from the 70s, in the middle there was a black and white issue, and I'm like, what the heck is that? And then it dawned on me, it was the canceled issue that had never been before printed. The reason it was in the middle of the book, afterwards Firestorm became a backup in Green Lantern, so the second half of the book is those backups. But so that was the first time that had ever been seen print. They decided to use this, and they're actually publishing the last 2 issues of Commandy in this book. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Cool.
Mighty Captain Marvel number 1, dealing with the fallout for Captain Marvel of Civil War. Monsters Unleashed number 1, Event of the Decade, comes out next week.
The decade?
No.
Which decade?
It's the event of January.
I don't know. We have Justice Suicide Squad.
Revolutionaries, number 1, is the sequel to Revolution at IDW. Rockstars, number 2. I really like number 1. It didn't sell great, but I really enjoyed it. Spider-Gwen, number 16. This is a now book, which means it has a fake number 1 on the cover, and it's dealing with her relationship with Miles Morales. Superman 15, continuing the multiversity storyline, which makes me quite happy. Uncanny Inhumans is an Inhumans versus X-Men tie-in. U.S. Avengers number 2. Venom number 3. WWE number 1, the wrestling book. And X'd, which is another Black Mask book that was a little bit late. Actually, about a year late. So I'm happy that these are coming out. So that's it for next week. Well, not it. There's a ton of stuff. It'll be up online tomorrow. So if you want to find me, I'm always here at the store. You can find me, the website's pittsburghcomics.com. Find me on Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter at PGH Comics, and same with Instagram. I am posting lots of pictures. It's fun on Instagram, and then it goes automatically feeds to Twitter and Facebook, and I get a lot of comments and likes and stuff. It's nice posting these Superman trades is getting lots of comments and stuff. Yeah, it's nice just interacting with people. So that's been fun. I think that's all we got. So, Josh.
Me?
Yep.
Well, that is a podcast.
Thank you very much. We will talk to you next week. Hopefully we'll have more people or less people. We'll find out.
You don't like the Intimate Podcast?
I do. I very much like the Intimate Podcast.
Yeah, come down if you want to.
Yeah, there's empty seats.
Matt Thomas.
Yeah. So, we'll talk to you next week. See ya.